The epistle appointed to read for the third Sunday of Advent is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your modesty be made known to all men. The Lord is nigh. Be nothing solicitous, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. This is a gospel taken from St. John. Chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. At that time, the Jews sent from Jerusalem priests and Levites to John to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him again, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They therefore said unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they that were sent are the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou be not Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John answered him, saying, "I baptize with water, but there has stood one in the midst of you whom you know not. The same is he that shall come after me, who is preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethania beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And so the words of today's Holy Gospel. Who art thou? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This question, my dear faithful, should be a question that we frequently ask ourselves in order to acquire a true knowledge of what we really are. For as the ignorance of ourselves is a source of pride and vanity, a true knowledge of ourselves brings to us the proper level of our Catholic humility. Who art thou? The question which the priests and Levites put to St. John in today's Gospel. He might easily have taken advantage of their mistaken notion. By a single word, he might have induced the whole synagogue to believe that he was the Messiah. But his humility would not allow him to pretend to any merit or to aspire to any dignity which was not justly due to him. It was a perfect knowledge of himself that made him so little in his own eyes. The low and contemptible opinion that he had of himself and of his own insufficiency made him appear in his own eyes as a mere nothing, and even not even worthy to loose the latchet of the Messiah's shoes. St. John said, "I am a voice. I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. That is an empty sound in the air and vanishes like smoke." Here's a perfect model of humility for our imitation. If we aspire to a true union with our beloved Redeemer, if we wish him to take possession of our heart during this holy season, we should follow the example of St. John in humility. It is in vain for us to expect that we can attain to happiness without the virtue of humility. It is only the meek and humble that our Lord bestows his favors and his blessings. There are two types of humility. There is the humility of the intellect and the understanding, and there is the humility of the heart and will. Humility of the intellect and understanding makes us know and acknowledge that of ourselves we are nothing. And we can really do nothing. And that all that we have, we owe to God's goodness and bounty. Humility of the heart is founded on the knowledge of our own weakness. And it makes us sincerely despise ourselves and renders us willing to be despised by others from a true conviction that we are deserving of contempt. How few we find that have this habitual disposition. How few there are who continually carry in their hearts this intimate conviction of their own unworthiness. There is nothing in which we more frequently deceive ourselves. We believe with our faith that all glory should be given to God alone. But in practice, we do not conform our sentiments to this belief. Nor do we habitually render to God the glory which is his due. Many grasp at the shadow, but few embrace the substance of humility. Many are humble in their words, for many will say, I am a poor sinner. There is no punishment which is I do not deserve for my sins. But inwardly, inwardly they deceive by a sinful and refined pride, which they artfully disguise and conceal under the mask of apparent humility, the cloak of affected modesty. The humility of most people goes no farther than the humility of the mind and the understanding. It doesn't reach the heart. Yet the humility of the understanding will avail us very little if we do not have humility of heart. The devils in hell well understand their own baseness and objection and misery, but they are lacking humility of heart and will. The true Catholic humility is a virtue by which a man from a true knowledge of self is contemptible even in his own eyes, realizes the good that he can do is only because of God, and that which he can truly claim for himself, as he is the artist and the source, are his sins. And everything else comes from God. It makes him have a humble opinion of his own infirmities and imperfections. It makes him undervalue the judgments of men and disregard the empty praises and applause of the world. God alone is the origin and the center of all that is good. And it follows that all honor, glory, and praise are due to him alone. We owe all that we possess to him. And of ourselves, we have nothing except weakness and sin. In our very nature, we have the very essence of frailty. When left to ourselves, we are capable of nothing but rushing into every kind of disorder. All the good qualities that we may and presume to have, whether in nature and grace, are gifts of God. They are talents disposed in our hands to be used for his honor and glory. And since much will be required of those to whom much have been given, to much has been given, the more favors we receive, the more talents we have, the more we should be concerned about the account that we will have to render for the stewardship of all the good things that have been given to us. And the more we should humble ourselves. Among the many motives which should lead us to humility is to consider the kind of creature we are. St. Paul very plainly says, if any man seems himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceives himself. We of ourselves really are nothing. It is only God who has taken us from nothing and given to us life, the very life of grace in our souls. But of ourselves, we are nothing but poor, miserable sinners, subject to vices and imperfections and unruly passions. We are born in sin. We commit sin during life. We have offended so good and gracious a God. Can anything be more humbling? What pride can stand up against the true reflection? We may know and we may be assured that our past sins have been forgiven because we are sorry for them and have been absolved from them. We can know that we do have a state of sanctifying grace, and yet we have no real assurance that we will relapse or even persevere unto the end in the love and friendship of God amidst the many dangers and snares of the enemy unless we comply with the grace of God. We are not stronger than Samson, who fell victim to his passions. We are not wiser than Solomon, who became an idolater. We are not more perfect than St. Peter, who denied his Lord and Master three different times. The downfall of these great men helps saints to realize and us to acknowledge our dependency upon the goodness and the grace of God. Nothing is more pleasing to Almighty God or more necessary for our salvation than that we should be truly humble. We have only to open the pages of sacred scripture and see the great benefits of the virtue of humility. By humility, Christianity was begun. By humility, it has been established. And on humility, it was founded. Christ gave us the great example that we might imitate it. He showed us the road to heaven that we might follow him. He humbled himself so far as to becoming a man, to be born in extreme poverty, to die upon a cross in the death of a malefactor. He began and completed his victory over sin and hell by humility. He chose for his precursor a saint whose distinguishing characteristic was humility. And he selected the most humble of all mortals to make his ever immaculate virgin mother. Christ's whole life was a perfect example of the most consummate humility, and of his preaching was for the purpose to plant the virtue deep in our hearts. Remember the words of our Lord. He said to his followers, learn of me. He said, learn of me, not to conquer nations, not to become rich and respected in the world, not to work miracles or to draw admiration of the world to oneself. Our Lord simply said, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.